So, good evening, friends. How are you? How are you doing? Holding up okay? Just give me a thumbs range. Okay, that's all right, wherever it is, you know. I was debating before coming in. Someone had offered me one of the masks that looks a bit like a duck's bill, like the ones that are more pointy, like this some of us have on. And it's just, Mark said that'd be a good practice for me to maybe share the Dharma through a duck bill, you know, just kind of looking funny. And so I didn't have the courage. No, just comfortable with this right now. Maybe I'll try it another day. So, you know, sometimes when I'm thinking about sharing something, like this kind of sharing, almost like I don't know, like play in my mind, like, you know, if this night were like the end of the world, you know, what is it that would be worth talking about? And it's not, I don't think, just to say, because I know the teachers will say, you shouldn't, that's, mind starts going. So if it were, you know, like, what is worthy of talking about? You know, and in a way we could say, like, all the teachings that the Buddha gave are really worthy of talking about. There's this one story that, it's a very small episode, but it's so poignant, where the Buddha was, it's recorded, was with some of his monastics and picked up a handful of leaves. I know many of you know this kind of this example. Picks up a handful of leaves and then asks, it's a little bit of a rhetorical question, but asks, which are more, the leaves in my hand or the leaves that you see in the forest? And being wise followers, they all said, well, it looks like there's more leaves in the forest and the trees overhead. And he said, just so, yes, it is like that. And just so, what I teach are these handful of leaves. What can be known, or what I know, let's say what can be known, are all of those leaves, right? There's so many leaves. But what is it really that's so important? What is important to know? And in this life that we have, what's worth knowing, what's worth doing? And you know, so oftentimes, you know, we do say things like thank you for your practice, because there is a very genuine feeling, and you might feel it too, sometimes passing by each other, not in our normal sped up mode, but in maybe a little bit of that, a little bit more sensitive, right? Being present, maybe kind of experiencing our humanity a little bit more clearly. Right? We have this life that is unfolding, and yet it's so easy to live in its assumptions, right? The stories, the kind of gliding over, just kind of passing by, and not really at times kind of fully inhabiting our experience, our life, right? And so these practices, they're meant, you know, to be an invitation to us, you know, to be maybe open, to be tender, to feel. You know, even though a lot of the words we say may sound like don't know, maybe cold or hard, like wisdom or awareness, but it really is pointing to our direct experience of being alive in this moment, in this realm, right? And the preciousness of that, and the universality of it, right? That we are, in fact, connected in that way. You know, I was just thinking about kind of why it is for me, like I just fell in love with the Dhamma so deeply. Why do I love this practice? I don't always love what happens in the practice, but I love the practice. Right? I love this invitation to be real, right? To be genuine, to open to what is actually happening and not denying it, not suppressing it, and not always putting on a mask, right? We put on masks now, but like always masking up or layering up, hardening a shell around our hearts, and so that maybe we don't have to feel the full terrain of, right, of experience. And so these very simple practices, you know, like simple moment of knowing for yourself your experience. It's like a drop of water, right, landing on, say, a dry, parched earth, just a drop of water begins to seep in. And mindfulness begins to seep into layers, right? Into our experience, our thoughts, our emotions. We start to, you know, oftentimes we arrive on retreat, and one of the discoveries, particularly for new meditators, is there's a discovery of just how crazy our minds are, right? How disorganized, how like, wow, look at this mind is so filled with maybe useless thoughts at times. Anyone have any useless thoughts today? A few moments of useless. I mean, so many of our thoughts are like, wow, we have played that hit how many times, and here we go again. But that's part of the awakening. Right, part of the discovery. You know, before I came into practice, I think I had spent, I think it was about 2001, so I was 28 when I really found the Dharma. And I think all of those years leading up to that time was like a slow, like winding up, like a winding of my nervous system and tightening. And Mark referenced that teaching around the tangle, like just my whole mind-body process getting further and further tangled, right? So that I then arrived with, you know, late 20s and feeling, wow, God, something is really kind of tight in my mind and body, sort of, you know, not feeling right, right? Sort of really... I could just sense something, and I didn't, you know, this is before I knew the Dharma, but I could feel there was something I needed to figure out. Something about what? I don't know. I didn't know what it was I was going to look for. But I could feel this kind of bubbling up of a search, right? That is what launches us into a spiritual, we say spiritual, like some kind of practice, right, that is going to be for our benefit. Like something sort of starts to knock and say, are you living the life that you want to be living? Like, is this your deepest aspiration? Are you realizing what it is that you want to realize? And before we have, let's say, a specific practice, it's hard to know. What is it, our aspirations? What are What are the potentials of the human heart, right, and the mind? What's possible? And then it is amazing. Right? It's amazing to start to practice this path where the potential really is like not on a personal level. It's beyond us fixing a personality, right? Accomplishing some sort of tasks. It really goes beyond the personal, right? The boundless nature of the heart, the mind, the potential, right? To purify, to do this very meaningful journey. And so when I arrived to Burma, and this really was sort of what I think early on, what I really felt like I needed, that Utejaniya was embodying so kind of organically. For any of you that have been with him, sort of know his nature. And I had sort of arrived there, you know, I had done a little bit of practice and was really still trying to get it right, trying to be the good yogi, as I've described a little bit. But in a kind of process still of perfecting, struggling, resisting, fighting. And then I met this teacher, Utejaniya, who somehow seemed to inhabit a body that was like the opposite of tiptoeing around, right? So the comparison for me, I remember looking out the window, and at one point I was looking out at the fields that surround the monastery, their farming kind of environment. And there are all these water buffaloes, sort of water buffaloes in the field doing their thing, right? Just kind of being in the field and walking around. And if you've ever seen a water buffalo, they're not being very precious, right? They're just kind of hunkering along, eating and pooping, right? And just the whole process, just so natural. And then at some point, I was walking outside and Sayadaw Utejaniya kind of walking by, and this is one of those. And well, so he then had a moment where he just, you know, kind of farted as he walked by. And my mind was a little bit like Sayadaw. Sayadaw. And he could feel I was like a little, you know, it's like, you know, but my teacher is just farting as he walks by. And so you heard, know what he says next, and he just turns to me and he says, Dhamma. Just, right, Dhamma. It's just nature. And for me, it was like those, one of those moments that just like, oh, right, God, here I am trying to like hold it all together. And there is something respectful about, you know, trying to hold these things together. But nature, right, is nature. And really, in kind of feeling the invitation of what the Dhamma is offering to us, right, it's not to be, really is not to be any different than we are, any different. That really does include like all of these amazing movements of our mind, right, that judge and criticize and worry and doubt. They too, they're just little farts in our mind, right, just letting off some gas, maybe even feels good once in a while, like, oh, that's more relieving. So the Dhamma speak about this topic. But anyways, it's like, yes, this is normal. Like our life, our hearts, what is it that we're experiencing? And I think the more, in a way, that we invite ourselves, right, to be in like just the authentic nature of what we're experiencing, we don't have to deny anything. We can be here on our cushions and allow whatever it is that needs to be here, to be felt, to be seen, but, you know, in a balanced way. We don't have to get overwhelmed. We can always take care. Are we ready to be with this next arising? And then like that, it really becomes a way of being alive. And this is why we're talking about a natural awareness, and not something that we do kind of some moments when things are just feeling right. How do we be awake inside of the trembling, right, heart and mind, the worry, the feeling alone or isolated, or all of those moments? And it's also, how do we continue to be awake and present, right, when spring is looking so wonderfully vibrant and everything is looking perfect? Can we also still continue our awakening process, even knowing that spring has a beautiful appearance, right, and that this too is impermanent, always changing, always changing? So I just wanted to say just a few words on that invitation, right, to remind ourselves, right, that, you know, we don't make our minds, right, be the way they are from moment to moment. What is it that we experience? This really is what's arising out of conditions. The more that we kind of orient and open to our experience, right, is sort of like a warm invitation to accompany ourselves. Our life is unfolding already. What is it like to be a good friend, right? A good friend to what's arising. That to me is when I check the attitude. How do I be with this? And can I allow what's here to be known? Another moment. Just opening, softening. You know, what is it like then if we don't have this sort of internalized kind of believing these internalized views of needing to be different than we are? What if it's okay to meet exactly what's here, right? With kindness, with awareness, stability, right? And to learn from whatever is here. Okay, so with that, again, sort of kind of transitioning into less words, and if you aren't already doing so, just kind of connecting with your intention and to be knowing your experience. Very ordinary. But also a very precious thing in this world. as we just remember, we don't need to, to fix the moment. It's not necessary to be any different than the way the body and mind are feeling. It can be this very deep and relaxed invitation to allow what is arising to be known. Learning to trust our own heart and mind, and trusting again just this simplicity, a handful of leaves. Again, just very gently, it's like we're finding our way through the tangle. this quality of being present, of awareness. It's not a demanding, not a fixing. And what if it's an invitation to, in a way, being even more gentle, and the sensitivity of awareness can really open to any experience, any emotion, bodily experiences. A very natural knowing. So again, thank you for your practice, for your attention. And just encouragement to just continue lightly, taking care of yourself, your practice, your mind. And if you have energy, we'll see you back here at 8:45. Okay. Take care.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.